Hello, everyone. Welcome back to, well, I guess this is the first time that you're seeing the Building the Board. We are actually diving into our positional roundups here. But welcome back to Bears on Tap. We are still Bears on Tap here. I am Ron Luce. You're probably sick of my voice. You know who I am. And I am joined tonight by Mr. Steve Letizia, CFC Bears over on the X. Steve, first off, hey, man, how you doing? I'm excited to be on a mic with you.
Yeah, me too. It's the first time we've been, you know, we've talked in like the Slack and everything, but first time on the mic together. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm really excited about this Building the Board thing we're doing and, you know, all the great people I'm meeting, all the prospects that we're watching. And, you know, we're starting with running back, the very first position, which, you know, we'll get into it, but it's not the best position group this year. But there are some intriguing guys. So I'm really excited to talk about them more.
100%. Yeah, it's kind of fun because we get to lead all of these off. So for all those that are tuning in going, what the heck's going on here? You heard from all of us in the opening episode of Building the Board. Q did an absolutely great job putting that all together. Big shout out to our Mr. Producer Q here behind the ones and twos. But in addition, you guys were at the Senior Bowl and you guys were live each night from Mobile. So that was incredible content as well for those that haven't or have maybe have caught that. And now we're here. We're doing the positional breakdowns. And Steve, as you perfectly noted, we get to lead things off with the running back group. But before we get into the prospects, we got to set the table, right? We got to at least discuss what the situation currently looks like with the Chicago Bears. And for starters, it's what do they have at the position right now? So, Steve, I'm gonna list off the guys. I'm gonna list off some dollar values, some contracts, and I just want to get your quick thoughts about what this position group looks like. Deonta Foreman is a free agent. Obviously, they could bring him back, but he is at least as of now an unrestricted free agent. He'll be on the market come March. Khalil Herbert's got one season left at about $1 million, just a hair over $1 million. Roshan Johnson, the player that's under contract the longest for the Bears, obviously still in that rookie deal. He's under contract for another 3 years, including 2024. And then Travis Homer, who was signed before the 2023 season, he is still on the contract or under the books for one more year. And the highest cap hit in the running back room right now at $2.1 million, a whopping dollar value for Travis Homer. So with that in mind, Steve, what, just initial thoughts here on what the Bears are currently rolling into 2024 with.
Yeah, so no one is overwhelming you in that group. You know, that list of names, you don't hear any of those names and think, okay, we're set at this position for a long time, especially with the contracts. It's a lot of, you know, guys that are just okay. Even though I'm actually a big Khalil Herbert fan. I like Khalil Herbert. But like, as you mentioned, he's on a one-year deal here. So there's nothing, I mean, and I'm never going to be a fan of signing, you know, average running backs to big contracts. Maybe if you have a really good player, you do that. But Khalil Herbert's not a guy you're going to give a big contract to. So this is very possible his last year in Chicago. So you definitely want to maybe bring someone in to kind of learn behind him and then replace him the following year. Then you got Roshan. That was kind of the idea last year. They brought him in the fourth round. He had ups and downs. I thought there was more downs than ups, unfortunately, but he was a rookie, kind of adjusting to the NFL. So you still have high hopes for him. You want to see a little bit more out of him next year, but you're definitely not going to get rid of him. You know, he's going to be in the rotation next year. And then you got Travis Homer, who might be the most interesting one of the group. Because if you remember where he came from, the Seattle Seahawks, he has some experience with Shane Waldron. Now, he's not going to be a game changer by any means, but he is right now. You're probably your best third down back. Khalil Herbert's, you know, more of an early down guy. Roshan can do a little bit of both, but Homer's actually a pretty good receiver, pretty good pass blocker. So it's an interesting room the way you have it, but it definitely doesn't prevent you from adding to that room either in free agency or with, a draft pick at some point.
Yeah, I think you put it incredibly well. I agree with you about Khalil Herbert. I like Khalil Herbert. I think we as fans got a really good sense of what Khalil Herbert can do, especially in 2022. Obviously, with, you know, there were some injuries, David Montgomery, he got to step up big. And even in a secondary position was almost a 1,000-yard rusher as a number two back in Chicago. And then last year, he's kind of derailed by injuries. So you almost ask, well, how much of his mess season is injury related, how much of it is just performance related as being maybe that number one back. Well put, I think, with Roshan as well, right? He's a rookie. he's still kind of a wild card. I don't think we saw enough of him last year to really have a good gauge on what he can be at the NFL level. But the Travis Homer you bring up, with that's a connection I almost totally forgot about with the Seattle Seahawks, now that Shane Waldron has taken over as the OC for the Chicago Bears. I think with Homer too, I would almost make the argument he's the most important running back on the roster right now. And that reason being, he's an incredible special teamer. And if you get one of those kind of guys, they're invaluable at the NFL level if you can get a guy like that. So, but agree with you, right? Great pass blocker, probably the best receiving back on the roster as well. So, and maybe appropriately so, the highest paid back on the roster as well. So, definitely in agreement with you there, Steve, a room that they can add to. And with that in mind, how much draft capital, if you are Ryan Poles, would you spend or should the Bears spend potentially on a running back in this coming draft?
Yeah, so if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm going into every draft, pretty much every draft, thinking I'm not using a day two pick, definitely not a day one pick, probably not a day two pick on a running back. I'm a big fan of drafting a running back in the fourth, fifth round, fifth, sixth round every year and just kind of rotating through that position. And, you know, again, we'll get to it a little bit later, but definitely in this draft class, I'm not really a fan of using a day two pick on any of these guys. You know, if there's a guy in a draft class who's just head and shoulders above everyone, like a Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, someone like that, I'm willing to spend like a day two pick on them, even though those guys didn't make it to day two. But you know what I mean? Like a really good running back. I'm willing to do that. But we'll get into all these guys. There are some guys we like, but no one who really is setting them, is positioning themselves head and shoulders above the rest to make you use that premium draft pick on him. So I'm thinking, yeah, a fourth, fifth round would be perfect to add to that group. Maybe get someone who has maybe a different profile, someone who just complements the pieces you already have really well. And then next year, even though we both like Herbert, maybe depending on his contract demands, you let him walk. And then you've got Roshan and that, and whoever they draft, and Travis Homer, and anyone else you want to bring in. So I think really that's the play in most drafts, and especially in this one.
Yeah, and I think we consistently see it year in, year out, too. I even think back to last year's running back draft. And I think, personally, last year's running back class is head and shoulders above this year's, just at the top of looking in, not even NFL success, just where they were coming from in college. Guys like Devon Achane, obviously Gibbs was a day one pick, you know, early on with the Lions, and so many of these other guys that made, you know, big splashes. Obviously Bijan was a huge piece of that as well. You know, you look down the list, like Roshan Johnson was a fourth round pick in this year's class. He's probably one of the top five or six, maybe, I would argue, maybe a little outside of that realm. So again, just, it's a very different class, but I agree with you. Unless there's a guy that is a game changer at the running back position, like second round draft picks, maybe a third round pick, right? Like David Montgomery was a third round pick. Those guys I'm a little more okay with, but definitely in agreement with you, unless they're a game changing player, no higher than the third round, but preferably a day three guy indeed. And then, with that all, again, in mind, what are we looking for as fans? What we know based on Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator, what kind of running back are we looking for this offense? What does the running back need to have to succeed under Shane Waldron in Chicago?
Yeah, so, you know, I've watched a few like Seahawks games, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on Shane Waldron's offense. There are plenty of guys on Bears Twitter who put together great stuff who you can look at, but just going on based on what I know, you know, the Seahawks had Kenneth Walker, and they used a second round pick on Zach Charbonnet last year, who were two guys, especially Walker, who wasn't a great receiver out of the backfield, but was a good runner. Charbonnet did a little bit more of both. But neither of them were great pass catchers, and they didn't really use their running backs in the pass game too much, except for just like screens and stuff like that. So I think in terms of the running backs that can run Shane Waldron's offense, we kind of have a good fit there already with Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson, because, you know, both of them can kind of do the things that Shane Waldron asked of his current running backs. But who knows? It could be a situation where Shane Waldron didn't use his running backs as pass catchers too much because he didn't have a great pass catcher running back. So if we're thinking about it that way, to me, I think the Bears really do need a guy who can make plays out of the backfield in the passing game, because Herbert's not that guy, really. He's improved over the years, for sure. When he came to Chicago, he was dreadful as a pass catcher. He's gotten a little bit better. Roshan's been okay there. Homer's good, but again, he's more of a special teams guy. So bringing in a guy who can really make a difference in the pass game is kind of what I'm looking at. And especially in this class, as we talked about, like, there's not really, you know, a guy in there who's a three down back who's going to, you know, get 25 carries a game. So you're kind of trying to build an offensive, a running back room with the Frankenstein monster with just pieces here and there. So if you get a guy who can be a really good pass catcher, there's guys in this class who are really good pass catchers who really don't run the ball too well. And then there's guys in the class who run the ball really well, but maybe aren't good pass catchers. And there aren't a lot of guys who do both. So to me, I'm looking at guys who can make a plays in the pass game, just because that's what we're currently missing in the room, I believe.
Yeah, and just to kind of add to that too, right, you look back to, you know, Seattle Seahawks film over the last handful of years, a lot of that pass catching out of the backfield was Travis Homer when he was there, right? And albeit in a little bit of a smaller sample size, but that still is the name that you saw the most. So, again, don't expect Travis Homer to be, you know, for the fantasy football gurus out there, like a worthy draft pick in the late rounds of your fantasy drafts in the fall. But in agreement with you there, Steve, they're definitely going to have to add at that position, probably a notable pass catcher, especially for just the success of potentially a young quarterback or even potentially a veteran quarterback who, you know, sometimes doesn't like to get out of trouble and tries to run it himself. But I guess when you have Justin Fields, you can afford to do that when things boil down to it. With that all in mind, Steve, let's dive in. We've got seven guys that we're going to cover here today as a little bit of a precursor for everybody that's watching at home or listening to this in podcast form at a later date. There's a lot of guys that admittedly we just haven't had the time to get to in a ton of film, but don't worry. The Trey Bensons of the world, the Blake Corums of the world are on our mind. They just might not be covered in depth on this episode. So as a little bit of a precursor for everybody there. But one guy that Steve, you and Quentin and Robert got to see a lot of just a week ago at the Senior Bowl was none other than Ray Davis out of Kentucky. You had the firsthand look at him. I would love to hear what you have to say about Ray Davis.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite running backs going into the Senior Bowl, and he did nothing to dissuade me from that. Just, you know, if we're talking about Ray Davis, I wrote an article on tapsports.net. Please go on tapsportsnet.com. Sorry. Please go read that article on Ray Davis. It's actually, yeah. So when you talk about him, I think you have to start with his background. It's really inspiring, his background. You know, I wrote a little bit about it, but there's plenty of articles online. He was in foster care at age 8. He was homeless by age 12. Both his parents were incarcerated from a young age. And he just, you know, was resilient and just, you know, didn't let it get to him. You know, he faced so many hardships in life, but really, you know, powered through. And we've heard Ryan Poles talk about the resiliency. He really likes that, guys who have overcome things. And no one's done that more than Ray Davis. So please look into his background if you haven't. But as a runner, yeah, I mean, it's hard to stand out in the Senior Bowl as a running back. Because, you know, especially in the practices, which we saw, there's no tackling. So you can't really get a feel for guys that contact balance and the ability to run through arm tackles and stuff like that. But what you can stand out is as a pass catcher. And I thought he did that as well. On tape, he catches the ball really well. They don't use him in the passing game, downfield too often. But anytime they did, he was always making plays. And there's, you know, other guys who they don't even use him that way. On tape. So I did get to see going into it. I thought he was maybe a better pass catcher than given credit for. And then at the Senior Bowl, you see him matched up with some of the best linebackers in the draft, best safeties in the draft, and he's getting open and he's making plays. And then just in terms of the tape, you know, he has great rush awareness to follow his blocks and set up second level defenders. I love his vision, his patience behind the line of scrimmage. Sometimes when guys are, you know, show patience, it turns into just dancing behind the line of scrimmage. That's not what he does. He's patient, but when he sees that hole, he's exploding through it and getting to the second level. Really quick, lighting his feet. Once he gets to the second level, he can make guys miss in the open field. The big, you know, weakness I have on him is that, one, his pass protection could be a little bit better. So, as again, you kind of have to piece guys together here, piece that running back room together. He can play on third down because he can catch the ball. His pass protection needs a little bit of work. He's also an older prospect. He's already 24. He's going to turn 25 as a rookie. I'm a little bit less concerned about that in running backs because I'm not giving running backs a second contract usually. So by the time his contract's up, he'll be 29, and that's fine. But it might cause him to fall a little bit farther in the draft than what he could do. So, you know, I think I had his third-round grade on him, so you might be able to get a third-round prospect in the fourth, fifth, sixth round because guys are going to be teams are going to be drafting those younger guys who maybe have a little bit more potential, but I think he's a guy who can step in right away and be a valuable asset to that room.
Yeah, and just to add on to what you had to say, because I've watched a little bit of tape of him, but obviously you had the front row experience to Ray Davis. Definitely his background is incredible, and that kind of plays off. I don't know if you saw it, but his interview after the Florida game when he popped off for 280 plus yards and like the sideline reporters just egging him like, how great were you today? And he's like, I mean, I'm just a product of my offense. My offensive line was great. Everybody else around me was great. Like, yeah. It just, you see like that humble kind of upbringing that, you know, and the resiliency in a player like him. And dare I say, Steve, the age thing might actually be a benefit for a team like the Chicago Bears, not only because obviously what you mentioned with the contract situation, but if he is able to fall and the Bears probably keying in on a running back more likely than not later in this class, he seems like the perfect guy that can step in, because my expectation would be a lot of teams are going to be wary of the age, obviously not just because age is a number in the game of football, but because you would then imagine that he's taken more hits and more damage. I mean, he was in college for five seasons at Kentucky. So, you know, you kind of play into that and go, wow, he's going to be get beaten up easier. And like you said, you know, it is very much a piecemealing situation for him. He's got good size. I mean, he's put up the numbers too, right? Like, it's nice when you can see a guy on tape and you're like, oh, he's got this or he's got that, but you don't see the game production necessarily tied to that. And you always kind of ask why. Him, it's not that concerned, right? I mean, he had 1,100 yards rushing a year ago. You mentioned the pass catching ability. 7 receiving touchdowns on just 33 catches is a very impressive number. He added 14 on the ground last year as well, just a hair under 200 carries in addition to that. So just a really good option, I think, for the Bears late in the draft. I would agree with you. I think where most people have him ranked right now, he's kind of sitting in that like 7th, 8th best guy in the class kind of ranking from what I've seen around the internet. But I agree with you. I think he's at, you know, a 3rd, 4th round talent that will probably fall due to the age. So certainly agree with you there on Davis.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're trying to move ahead, but a guy I comped him to was Damian Pierce, who was out of Florida a few years ago, came to the Texans, had a really good rookie year, kind of fell back down to earth last year. So I don't know if he's going to have the same stats that like Damian Pierce had, you know, as a rookie, but he's a guy who can come in right away. He's going to, he's a little bowling ball. He's like, what, 5'9", 220 pounds.
Yeah.
And he runs like it too. He tries to run through guys. He runs over guys. But so I think that's kind of just what to expect if they did draft him, a guy like that who is a good runner of the football, can contribute in the pass game, but maybe not, you know, he's not going to be like a Danny Woodhead who's going to, or guy like that, you know, in the pass game, but he's going to contribute a little bit.
Yeah, he's listed at 5'10", 216, but I agree with you. He's probably a little more like 5'9", and a little pushing 220.
Yeah, I think when he mentioned in the Senior Bowl, he was like 5'8 and 7 quarters, 7/8 or something like that. He was under 5'9", I believe.
Okay, yeah. Hey, sometimes the little bowling ball. Chihuahuas are the feistiest dogs for a reason. Just because they're tiny doesn't mean they don't pack a bunch. But that's all we got. Oh, go ahead.
I'm 5'8 and 7/8 as well, but my Tinder profile says I'm 5'10", so I get it. You know.
I feel that. Mine for the longest time was I'm a hair under 5'11", but we were 6 foot. Don't get it twisted at the end of the day. Moving on from Ray Davis, we're going to talk about another SEC running back, this time in the form of Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Again, a guy that I admittedly haven't watched a ton of film on. I've actually probably seen more of his running back, Jabari Small, than I have more of Wright. But again, another guy at the Senior Bowl, Steve, that you got a front row view at just a week ago in Mobile.
So he was attending the Super Bowl, Senior Bowl, but he did not practice. I don't know if that was an injury thing or if it was just sitting out. I'd imagine it was probably an injury thing because it's not. I mean, I like his tape a lot. He's going to be one of my top guys, but I imagine he's still not like there. You know, he's still trying to separate himself from the group. So I'd imagine it's probably an injury thing, but I don't know. But he's a guy I really like. The thing about him, they're back. I mean, the where the colleges and offenses they're coming from is very different from Ray Davis to Jalen Wright. Ray Davis was more of like a bell cow guy. Jalen Wright was very much in a running back by committee, as you mentioned with Jabari Small. So he doesn't have, and he's also been only been in college for 3 years. So he doesn't have that wear and tear you would get on most running backs that are coming in. So I think teams are going to really like that because they're going to, you know, draft him and on his potential and then try and, you know, get that workload up. But he's really explosive athlete. You know, this guy is plus speed, plus elusiveness. Like I said, with Davis, he's got good patience and vision behind the line of scrimmage. He's not the biggest guy. He's a little, I think he's like 5'10", 215. I can't remember, but something like that, you know, but he has,
yeah, they got him listed at about 5'11", 210. Yeah.
Yeah. So something like that. So he's not huge, but he's got really good contact balance. He runs through arm tackles, no problem. But even when he does take kind of a hit, you know, he doesn't always go down on that first contact, which I really like. But he's a guy who can be a home run hitter. He was ranked on Bruce Feldman's freak list. You know, he puts out that top 100 freak list every year. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, he was on it in 2022 and number 24, so pretty high, but wasn't on it in 2023. So I'm not Bruce Feldman. I'm not sure how that works. But he's still super athletic despite not being a freak last year. Really, you know, short, compact frame, plays a little bit bigger than his size. As I mentioned, quick feet, can start and stop in a dime. I really like him. Some things I'm kind of like not nervous about, but I need to see more of. I really wanted to see him at the Senior Bowl mostly because Tennessee did not use him as a pass catcher really at all. You know, a few swing passes here and there, but never, you know, past the line of scrimmage. And I think he has the ability to do it because when he does catch the ball, even short, he shows, you know, it's smooth, it's easy. He's not fighting the ball like most running backs are. So I think he has the ability to be more of a pass catching running back. It's just a belief that I have. I have nothing to prove that, you know. So I need this. I want to see him at the combine, you know, do those running back drills and see how he looks there. But as just a runner of the football, he's really, really talented. And, you know, even if he is just an early down guy early on in his career, he still can be serviceable to an NFL offense. I'm trying to think of the guy. I'm looking at my report now. I compared him to James Cook, which is probably a lofty comparison. Okay. But similar guys who are a little undersized home run hitters, you know, stuff like that. But I do think he could be more as a pass catcher who can get to that James Cook level. So, but I really like him. He's definitely going to be in my top three running backs, I believe, when it's all said and done. I still need to watch everyone, but it's looking that way.
Yeah, I mean, I from what I've been able to see, I got to see a little bit of him kind of here and there. Ironically, within the Jabari Smalls, you know, film and getting to see him a little bit. I think with Wright, like, he almost strikes me as the type of player who, like you said, right? Some team's going to take a shot on him because of that athleticism, because of that ability. And I think if a team looks and says, hey, we know ways we can use him and get the ball in his hands and use that explosion, they're going to do so, right? I think from last year, the guy that it screams in my head that kind of became that player for his NFL team was Devon Achane, right? Like, he was kind of that home run hitter. Obviously, he was really beat up throughout most of the season, but when he was on the field, he was absolutely electric. And I think there's a lot of possibility that Jalen Wright becomes that kind of player as well. Again, you mentioned – that's kind of a theme that I've been noticing with most of this running back class is like, not a lot of these guys are asked to be pass catchers. And if they are, it's like the swing pass out of the backfield, and that's about the extent of it. So I'm right there with you. I think, you know, there's certainly the upside, but again, I think we're going to learn a lot about guys like him at the combine coming up here in just a few weeks. I am Skokes, a good friend of our program, jumping in the comments section. She says, dudes stumbled upon Jawar Jordan not long ago, an interesting player, another guy that we will certainly have to keep an eye on our radar. And blank name here. Blake Corum is another name to look at, I doubt he makes it past round two, as the Bears should not be using a second round or running back. I think Corum's going to fall, personally. I know the numbers are there, and I'm the first person that thinks the whole size thing is just stupid. Like, if you can play ball, you can play ball. Corum's size is going to have him. He's going to fall down draft boards as a result of that, unfortunately. Yeah. Being 5'8", and I think that might be generous calling him 5'8". So, but certainly a guy, again, that is on our list of guys to keep an eye on and watch some more tape on as well, as we mentioned a little bit ago here on the show. Steve, let's move on out of the SEC over to the West Coast. They finally have ended the reign of being a Pac-12 school. Now they're going to be in the Big Ten. But let's talk about Marshawn Lloyd from USC. Another guy, again, you had a front row seat to at Mobile. A guy that I know, at least just watching from afar, that a lot of you guys were really impressed with in the running back drills in the pass game specifically.
Yeah, no one looked better at the Senior Bowl. No running back looked better at the Senior Bowl than Marshawn Lloyd. I thought it was pretty clear he was the best running back there. Now, again, with the caveat being that we really only see them as pass catchers and what they can do there. You don't get a lot seeing them as a runner. But he's a really good receiver out of the backfield, and not just swing passes, not just screens. He can win downfield. I was watching a lot of Caleb Williams tape this last week, so I saw that firsthand. One play sticks out in my mind where he just ran like a seam right up the seam against a cover two and caught a pass deep downfield, adjusted to maybe not the most accurate throw, caught it in stride and just kept going and made a big play. So he did look awesome in mobile, 100%. I came back from that because before the Senior Bowl, I didn't watch him closely. You know, I saw him when I was watching Caleb Williams. I saw him when I was watching Brendan Rice, but I didn't really, you know, focus on him. So I went back after the Senior Bowl, I was like, I got to watch more of this guy. And I watched him and I came away less impressed, to be honest, than I was Senior Bowl. I think he is a really good receiver out of the backfield, and that's going to be his calling card in the NFL. But as a runner, man, he misses so many holes. He's just constantly running in the back of his offensive lineman. He really doesn't have any nuance to his running style. You know, he still has utility because if you get him into the open field, he can make guys miss. It's just finding creative ways to get him into the open field because he's not going to be able to do it consistently on his own, just running the football in the NFL. There's still a lot to like, but I did come away from the tape a little bit down on him, unfortunately. But yeah, if you're just drafting him, you know, on day three to be a pass catching third down running back, you're going to be, you could have something there. Problem with that is he's not a great pass blocker either. So if you use him as a third down back, because he can make plays out of the backfield of a pass game, but he can't pass block, he's not going to see the field, until that's fixed. So a guy who definitely, you know, is very intriguing, but I need to see more as a runner. And I need to, I'm about, I think four games into his, I got a few more. So hopefully maybe I see something there, but you got to be careful. He's not going to be that guy who you just give the ball to behind the line of scrimmage and let him go. He's got to, you got to manufacture touches for him.
Yeah, almost. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a former Bear in Tariq Cohen that I think was starting to take the turn by that third year as a guy that truly could run between the tackles and be used as a more often running back. But obviously the injury completely derailed his career. At least it's good to see him back in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. But maybe that's the type of guy, right, that Lloyd becomes at the next level. You kind of manufacture those touches, as you said, for him, find ways to get him involved, maybe in the quick screen game, maybe just, again, even as just a straight-up receiver, right, just to give a different look, use some of that explosiveness and shift the ability as a pass catcher, maybe downfield or in the check down game, et cetera. So Marshawn Lloyd, a guy that admittedly, again, I haven't watched a ton of film on personally, but again, Steve, you were able to have a firsthand look at him in Mobile, which is absolutely fantastic. Another guy that you got to see down in Mobile, hailing from New Hampshire, one of the smallest states in the union, is Dylan Lobby. I will admit, another guy that I am still getting around to on the film, but a guy that you seemed pretty impressed with, Steve, especially from your time in Mobile.
Yeah, another guy who looked really good, you know, catching passes at the Senior Bowl. If I said that I thought Marshawn Lloyd was the most impressive running back, if you were there and you wanted to argue that Dylan Lobby was the most impressive running back, I probably wouldn't argue too much because they were both really, really impressive catching the ball out of the backfield. But, you know, it's hard to find New Hampshire tape, but I do actually have a few games of his. I was able to watch it. And yeah, the tape is equally as impressive out of the backfield, you know, and not only out of backfield. The nice thing about New Hampshire is that they would motion him out of backfield, they put him out wide, they put him in the slot, and he'd still get open, you know, caveat with the level of competition there. But I think that route running ability that he has will translate to the NFL, you know, and it's going to sound like a really lazy comp, because it is, because everyone compares white running backs to other white running backs. But I'm sorry, you can't watch Dylan Lobby and not think, hey, that's Danny Woodhead. Like, they're the same guy. Like, I know that's, you can call it lazy, I don't care, go for it. But that's the kind of guy you'd be getting. Like, he's a pass catcher. As a runner, you know, he's fine. You know, I kind of saw the same things I saw with Marshawn Lloyd, you know, not, you know, the best vision. But he can get open out of the backfield. And that, if you're a guy from New Hampshire who's going to be a day three pick, if you can carve out a career for yourself as a third down back, that's pretty good. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. We're talking about a day three guy. So I would love to have him on the Bears. I think he'd be a really nice safety valve for whoever is playing quarterback, and a guy you can maybe move around, make create some mismatches with.
I was going to say, Laube, exactly what crossed my mind is, like, this is the guy that I would be like, the Bears get on day three, right? Because he fills an absolute need that this running back group just needs to fill at the front office level. Put up good numbers more so in 2022, at least in the running game. He was a 1,200-yard rusher with 15 touchdowns on the ground. Last season, a little bit of reduced. I mean, nearly 100 carries less. He had 245 carries in 2022, only 158 in 2023. But upped his numbers in the passing game, 68 catches for 699 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, this guy was both a running back and a receiver effectively. So, Steve, as you mentioned, I mean, again, even if he comes into the NFL and can become a very successful third down back and just a kind of a different look, different, you know, change of pace kind of guy in probably a backfield by committee, which, I mean, most running back committees in the NFL are, or most teams are that way when it comes to the running back position. And I wouldn't be mad about a Danny Woodhead type in Chicago, truthfully. So I agree with you there, Steve.
Yep, he'd be a god in Chicago, for sure.
100%. Everybody would love him. They would find a way. Right. It's very Chicago Bear-esque of the fan base to like a guy like that.
There would be Laube jerseys everywhere.
Yeah, exactly, right? They would. You would probably see more Laube jerseys than you do like Tariq Cohen or Devin Aroshimadu. I have a buddy that owns an Aroshimadu jersey. It's the most absolutely ridiculous thing ever, and I love it so much.
I'm jealous to be honest. I should get one.
It's incredible. Well, moving on from some of the Senior Bowl guys that you got to see firsthand, Steve, into maybe some of the more well-known guys here on this back half of our examination. The first one being a guy that originally a lot of people, I think, were looking at as the second best running back in this class. But I think as the hype comes along with the draft process, has moved up on a lot of boards into that top spot. We're talking about Bucky Irving with the Oregon Ducks. This is a guy I have actually watched quite a bit of film on. And to me, Steve, this is the one guy that if the Bears were to spend a day two pick on, it's him. Like, he has the pass catching ability out of the backfield. I admittedly would like to see him run, I guess, more complex routes. Again, a lot of these guys are the epitome of, hey, they're coming out and doing a check down. They're coming out and doing, you know, just something simple out of the backfield. It's rarely ever a ton of action, but 1,100 yards on the ground last year, had 56 catches still in the pass game for a little over 400 yards. To me, this is a guy that he has the hands and they're going to succeed in the NFL. In addition to that, I like his vision. I think for being a smaller running back, he has very good vision. So the running between the tackles doesn't concern me a ton. The one thing I would want to see more of is him just being used as a pass blocker. More often than not, he is sent out as kind of that check down guy for Bo Nix on a lot of the film. And that's kind of a little bit of an unknown in his game of just how well he can block, even in plays that, you know, a lot of times he's like a decoy, right? And he's not actually getting those pass blocking reps. But one word I did use to describe him, Steve, was he's kind of a pinball for his size. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not the biggest guy. He's a wet t-shirt away from 200 pounds, but he's probably one of the few guys that's actually below 200 pounds in this draft class. And he just, you can get him down. But more often than not on the tape, it takes two and three defenders to hit him. He's not just a one and done kind of guy on the ground. So I feel like the more and more tape I watch on Bucky Irving, the more and more I get impressed. I think the only major question I have is just how well can he pass block? Because that's just something he didn't do a lot of at Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, you've probably watched more of him than I have. I've just started his evaluation, but yeah, I liked what I saw early on, you know, nothing final here, but yeah, I did think that he, you know, going into it, you see a guy's profile and you go into a tape and you have an idea of kind of what you're going to see. But I thought he was kind of more powerful than he's maybe given credit for, at least bouncing off tackles. You know, he's not going to be a power back by any means, but he doesn't always go down on first contact. And when you just see his size, you think that's what it's going to be. But yeah, and as a pass catcher, he's explosive. If we're talking about explosive guys, both as a runner and as a pass catcher. So I do agree he's got kind of that going for him over some of the other guys that we're talking about, other guys in this draft class, because he can be more of a third down guy. I don't know if you want him to be a 20 rush a game guy, but a guy you can definitely have in a committee who's when you bring him into the game, it's not going to give away that you're passing the ball. You can use him as a runner. You can use him as a passer. So I really impressed. The thing about any Oregon guy I watch is that I start watching him and I say, oh, that was a pretty nice play. And then I say, oh, there's Jackson Powers Johnson. Oh, that was a great block. And then I watch like seven plays of Jackson Powers Johnson. I have to go back. Like, no, you're not watching Jackson Powers Johnson. You're watching Bucky Irving. Go back. So that's my problem with any time I watch Oregon guys.
It's funny. As a former offensive lineman myself, obviously helping out with the running backs and tight ends for building the board, but I caught myself on a couple of plays being like, there's a really nice pass set by Jackson Powers Johnson there. I really liked what he did there. And then I had to do the same thing, kind of refocus on Irving. I will say Irving kind of reminds me, and some of this might just be with like the physique and kind of how he runs. He almost reminds me a little bit of Alvin Kamara. In the sense of like his running style, right? He bounces off of guys a little bit more, as Quentin says here in the comments. It's so easy to get distracted by JPJ. Too easy. But he strikes me as a guy, again, he's not going to run through people, but he's going to bounce off people. And that's very much how Alvin Kamara was when he first got into the league. I think Kamara is probably had more upside coming in as a pass catcher than Irving does. But I can see a lot of the comps there. And this is probably one of the, I would say probably one of two backs in my eyes right now, maybe three, that go on day two of the draft. Like, I think Irving's gone by the end of the third round. He might sneak into the second round, truthfully. I think if a team really loves him, I could see him sneaking into the second round. But I think the perfect place to take him, if you're looking just for the value of the player, I think would be like high third round, mid third round is probably where he ends up going. Do you agree with that, Steve?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think if you could get him on day four, on day three, that's a steal. But yeah, seems more like he's going to, because you know he's going to go to the combine, and it doesn't matter that he's 190 pounds. He's going to run a 4.3 and, you know, test, you know, jump out of the gym and do all the stuff. So he's going to get move up draft board. So if he was a day three pick now, he's going to be a day two pick after the combine. So yeah, that seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely agree with you there. A guy that I think we like a lot of. But like Irving, probably one of the guys that most people one of the first names out of people's mouths when talking about this running back class is the Big Ten back, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Most people have him as their top back, understandably so for a variety of reasons. I feel like I know more about Braylon Allen than Braylon Allen might know about himself after the amount of film that I've watched on him over the last couple weeks. But Steve, giving you the floor here first with Allen, I know this is a guy that you've actually had an opportunity. This is probably the first guy that we both had a lot of opportunity to watch extensively on film so far. So I would love to get your take on Braylon Allen before I share some of my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you notice about Braylon Allen is just his size. You know, he's just a big dude. You know, some of these other guys we're talking about, pretty much most of the guys you're talking about, maybe we're probably a little undersized, but Braylon Allen has that frame that can hold up to be like a 30 attempt a game rusher. You know, there's not a lot of those guys in the NFL anymore, but even like a 20 game rusher, he can do that. He's not afraid to lower shoulder, run guys over. Good vision. He's also really young too. I think he's the youngest player in the draft, I believe. I could be, if not the youngest, he's one of the youngest, which teams will like. My biggest question mark with him though is just the long speed. You know, he doesn't have to be a home run hitter because he's what, 6'1", 230, something like that.
6'2", but I do question.
Okay, even bigger than I had. So yeah, so he doesn't. That with that profile, you don't need him to run a 4.4 to be a successful running back. And just running backs in general, I think the 40-yard dash is a little bit overrated. It's more about quickness than long speed. But you do still want your guy, if he does get, you know, break one, to not get caught from behind. And I did see him get caught from behind a few times. So he might run in the 4.6s. I don't think that changes his evaluation too much, because you're kind of, you know, maybe he gets in the 4.5s, but it's not his game, you know. But I think, you know, that also might cause him to fall down some boards. We know teams overweight athletic testing all the time. They see a guy like, oh, this guy's tape is really good, but he ran a slow 40, or he didn't jump as high as I thought, and then he goes down. But if you just trust the tape with Braylon Edwards, I think you're going to get a really good running back. Now, you have probably watched him more than I have, so I'm going to kick it back to you, and you can kind of just, you know, talk about him a little bit more.
This is the one guy I think I've actually salivated over in this running back class, truthfully, for a variety of reasons, because he is so different than today's NFL running back, right? Like, the size is there. I agree with you. My biggest concern is the straight line speed. He's you know, he kind of reminds me of David Montgomery in that sense, right? Where like he has that quick, you know, burst into the hole. I think from 2022 to 2023, he actually improved that burst. It just looked better on film, getting to the holes quickly. He's got good patience. Obviously he's a pain in the ass to take down because he's almost 250 pounds and 6'2". But just an absolutely monster. I mean, he has no issue reading the open, you know, in zone schemes, right? He can find the hole with ease. He sets up a lot of blocks for himself. I think the vision is really good there. He's very fluid in the open field, like for a bigger guy. Sometimes the bigger guys look a little robotic, just the way they run and move, especially at the running back position. I don't get that with Allen as much. I think he's very fluid in the terms of just the way he moves. He doesn't go out in the pass game a lot, just period. Like, they don't ask him to. And if it is, again, it's like he's the do or die last option if they get to the seventh read on the field, and that's not even a thing. Like, he's the very last guy. So he doesn't catch a ton of passes. He did catch more passes this year than any other year in his career, but he still only caught 28 balls in 2023. He had significantly less attempts this year as well, so that probably factored into his numbers being a bit off. He was a 1,200 rusher back-to-back years in 21-22, but just fell short of that 1,000-yard mark, not by much, 984 yards in 2023. I think he can be a three-down back, and I think the receiving ability will be there enough. I'm really intrigued to watch him at the combine in the anything that involves running routes and catching footballs. I think that's the one glaring area that I need to just see more of to truly understand what the player is as a whole. I wonder if the ball control is an issue too. It wasn't like egregious by any means. I'm not sitting here saying he fumbles once a game, but there were a couple of times where like he dives, gets into a pile and somebody kind of comes in from behind and punches it out on him. So, I mean, 9 fumbles in 3 years, only 5 of them were lost. So again, not a huge concern, but at least something I at least debated and asked a question on. First content tech never brings this guy down, but I think the one thing for me, Steve, that just to me makes me fall in love with the player, the dude pass blocks like he's a right tackle. he's one of the best pass blocking running backs I've seen in a long time. Like, there are not many guys at the running back position that pass block like him. Obviously the size helps that, but he's got the form, he's got the fit. He'll, you know, like I talked to Q about it when we had our you know, guys that we really liked from the jump on the first show. He can contort his body to take on blocks in a way. He almost never gets run over. And if he does get run over, it's because he's taking the player that's running him over just out of the play in general. Braylon Allen to me is the guy I look at though. And I go, oh, I hope he runs bad so that people let him slip. Cause if the Bears could get him in the fourth round, like, yes, I he's not the, oh, he's going to run out of the backfield and catch a ton of passes guy. But he's the one guy that I just think would be such a unique kind of aspect to this Bears offense because of his size and just what they could do. Because we saw it a year ago, right? With a poor offensive line in Seattle, Waldron had to use a lot of tight ends to shore up that aspect of the offense. And that was called out earlier by Robert Schmidt with the JSN dilemma that happened at Radio Row today. But Allen could very well be a guy that you don't need 3 tight ends on the field to successfully pass block. You can have Allen in there with a Caleb Williams or Justin Fields in the backfield, and he can take on blocks like a tight end does. So I think that just that aspect alone to me becomes such a unique just kind of advantage that he would bring to the Bears. He's probably a day 2 pick unless he runs really poorly. Then I agree with you. I think I could see him slip into day 3. My comparison for him, we had to go back in the time machine a little bit for this one. Gives me like Brandon Jacobs vibes.
That is long enough. Yeah. I think, yeah, Brandon Jacobs, you mentioned Dave Montgomery. I think that's a good comp. I've also seen AJ Dillon. And AJ Dillon, you know, has had, you know, he's had a rough last year, but hasn't been good in the NFL. But yeah, the pass blocking, like you mentioned, was easily like the most impressive thing. And I think that's coming from a former offensive lineman. You're always looking at the pass blocking. But that's not only a strength, that's like an elite skill that he has. Like a lot of guys who you are scouting, if you're scouting their pass blocking, a lot of running backs, you're like, okay, this guy, you know, shows flashes. This guy can eventually turn into a really good pass blocker. Or at least an adequate pass blocker.
Or if they're willing,
Or if they're just a little bit more willing, they got the technique. With Allen, there's no projection there at all with his pass blocking ability. He's going to step in from day one and be the best pass blocking running back on whatever team he is, most likely. But yeah, I mean, just like if we're talking comps, Brandon Jacobs, David Montgomery, whatever you want it to be, you know, I think the Bears did miss David Montgomery last year. Just his presence, even though they, you know, were still able to run the ball well, just a guy who you can just give the ball to and he's going to pick up 3, 4, 5 yards and you don't really have to worry about it. Like, that's just so nice to have. And I am an analytics guy, but sometimes there, you know, you have to throw analytics out the window and say, we just need to get 4 or 5 yards on first down. And I think that's kind of what what Braylon Allen gives you. You just know what you're going to get and he's going to be solid. And then he also has, you know, an opportunity to break off a big one every once in a while, a 20, 30 yard gain too, but he's going to at least get you 3, 4 yards and that's valuable. So yeah, a guy who's really, really fun to watch. And I do have to watch more, but I'm excited to do so because he did show me something.
Yeah, I think Allen is just a really impressive prospect. And like you said, right, that's a skill that he has with the pass blocking. He's going to step in day one and 100% be the best guy in that room, no matter where he goes. You know, and again, like you said, right, he's going to probably get caught from behind. He's not the fastest guy in the world. I am curious to see how he runs. I think that's my general curiosity for all these running backs is just what do you run? Because I want to see if my eyes deceive me or not when watching your tape. Yeah. But Braylon Allen, I think, is such a fun
Obviously, I'm going to be in tune to the 40-yard dash, but I more want to see like the shuttle and three cone because that's more valuable to me as a running back. Like, obviously, I'd love a guy to be really fast, but if you can't change direction, you're not going to be a good running back. I don't think that's going to be the case with him, but I'm just curious. As a bigger back, it's hard for you to change direction. It's harder for Braylon Allen to change direction than it is Bucky Irving. You know, that's 100%. A 50-pound difference there. So, you know, he doesn't need to have the same shuttle and three cone as Bucky Irving. He just needs to be good. And that's all I'm really looking to see.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. From Mr. Snipey in your front yard. He says, I like the running back from Marshall. He says he forgets his name, but a lot of speed, a lot of power and grit. He reminds him of Pacheco a little bit, who, again, was another very late round draft pick, seventh rounder. Was Isaiah Pacheco, if I remember correctly.
I believe, his name is Rasheen Ali. I think he actually was at the Senior Bowl, I believe. Yeah, he was. And again, it's so hard to stand out at the Senior Bowl as a running back, but so I don't really have like anything to say really about him specifically, but I will say that all the running backs of the Senior Bowl, there wasn't like a bad pass catcher of the bunch. There wasn't like one guy who was dropping anything or one guy who was even fighting with the football. All of them were really natural hand catchers, and I think he was too. So again, not a lot on him. I haven't watched his tape, but he is a guy to probably monitor.
Absolutely. Again, I feel like especially just tying this again all back into the Bears, right? We're watching these guys from a holistic standpoint, but we do all have in our minds kind of where these guys fit with the Bears. It's realistic that these day three guys, which is probably going to be majority of this running back class outside of probably Braylon Allen, probably Bucky Irving, and maybe a guy like Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Like most of these guys are going to be day three picks. That's where the Bears are going to be picking, right? So a lot of those guys are the ones that we are going to be more tuned into, despite, you know, obviously we love the guys like Bucky Irving and Braylon Allen, but unless they slip, realistically, the Bears probably aren't jumping to, you know, if they get a second round pick, let's say hypothetically for Justin Fields, they're not going to use that on a Braylon Allen or a Bucky Irving, right? That's probably going to be used on a pass rusher. It's probably going to be used on an offensive lineman, something of that nature, over the running back position. We have one name left, Steve, again, noting to everybody, as we mentioned before, there are a lot of guys we still got to get to the film on. We haven't forgotten about the Blake Corums of the world and the Trey Bensons of the world. Those guys are on our list to get to. But these are just where we're at right now in the process. Obviously, we're the first show, so we had the least amount of time to prepare, unlike some of our other counterparts here at Building the Board. But the final guy we're going to talk about here today, Steve, is Will Shipley from Clemson. Now, this was a guy that I think just because of Clemson's downfall, quote-unquote, this year and really over the last 2 years, flew under the radar, I think, to a lot of people. But watching his tape, He's your prototypical running back size. He's about 5'11", so he's a little taller maybe than your traditional running back, but he's about 210 pounds, just good size for the player. But he is very fascinating, and I don't entirely know what he is. I don't know how good he can pass block because he was used quite a bit in terms of he would go out, check downs, even on – this was the one thing with Shipley that I liked was he didn't statistically have a ton of catches. I mean – 38 catches in 2022 was his highest in his career. He had 31 a year ago, but they have him running angle routes over the middle, right? He's not just a check down guy on a swing pass or a screen or something like that. They used him a little more in the passing game, which I thought was interesting. Probably one of the few guys that I truly saw that out of so far in watching a lot of the film. He runs very almost like it's controlled chaos. Dare I say it's like Isaiah Pacheco-like, not to the same violence level as Isaiah Pacheco, but like the same concept. Like he's like, ah, he's like, he looks like he's running for his life half the time when he's out on the field, but he's not afraid of contact. He kind of has that Gumby nature to him when he runs, where he just kind of bends and bounces off of guys. And he looks like the inflatable wavy dudes outside of the car dealerships when he's running the football. He almost gives me pocket, like poor man's like Matt Forte vibes. Like if he was a little bigger and he was a little like stronger and maybe a better pass catcher, he would like remind me of Matt Forte. But there's a lot of similarities just the way he runs the football, where he kind of gives me that vibe. And I'm like, he's a guy I want to see more of. I want to see how he runs. I want to see how he performs. From what I saw of him catching the football, again, only 31 catches, but when he does catch the football, he doesn't look uncomfortable doing it. He looks like he's got pretty good hands for a running back. Just he's the type of guy that, again, especially on a day three, he would be a very fascinating piece. And to me, he's probably the closest thing that in this draft to a potential three down back. Again, really didn't get to see a ton of his pass blocking ability, but as long as he's a willing pass blocker, that's a guy at least for somebody like the Bears can work with and get him to that level where he can at least be league average enough to do that, to be able to do all the other things that he does fairly well. So I like Shipley, a guy I want to watch more film on. I haven't gotten as much as I would like to on him just yet, but just a very intriguing prospect. He's probably the one that's piqued my interest the most out of any running back, because I have a lot of questions still, but I like what I've seen in a limited sample size.
Yeah, I haven't watched a little snap of his, so I'm going to say you nailed it. That was spot on.
he's interesting. He's interesting. Okay. So,
I added my list. I mean, I've heard of him, but I just didn't know he. Then I was looking at his stats. His stats look pretty good. So definitely, he's going to be someone I watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's got pretty decent numbers. He wasn't a 1,000-yard rusher in 22. Took a little bit of a step back this year, but, I mean, also had almost 50 less carries, 827 yards, and just 5 touchdowns on the ground. But, again, just a very intriguing piece, and I don't know how much of that was just Clemson's offense not being the Clemson that we were used to when guys like Travis Etienne were there, for example, at the running back position. So, a guy that, again, I want to get my hands on more of his film. He's interesting. He's going to be probably a day three pick. I would probably peg him in the 5th or 6th round. NFL comp right now, I'd say he's probably a poor man's, he's the running back version, not the receiver version of Alvin Kamara, poor man. Like that's what I would call him. You know, I don't think the pass catching ability is that good, but like they're just the way he runs. It's like if Alvin Kamara ran like Isaiah Pacheco, in terms of the chaotic nature of how he runs, is kind of what Will Shipley gives me vibes of. But again, with more film, that certainly could change in the near future. Steve, but we made it through our 7 guys that were on our list to talk through today here. Any final thoughts really just on the running back position as a whole in this class?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we talked about a lot. It's not a great class this year, so the Bears are lucky that they don't absolutely need a running back. I do wonder if some of these guys might get overdrafted because it's just such a weak class. So the guys that like the 3-4 guys who actually show potential might go a little bit higher than they're projected. But that also drops a wide receiver or an edge player down to the Bears, so I wouldn't be mad about that either. Just a couple other guys I just want to like give a mention to, I think, because we haven't mentioned Audric Estime from Notre Dame. I have watched him. I wasn't overly impressed. I wasn't overly disappointed either. It was kind of just like, yeah, this guy's pretty solid, but he has got great stats. But he's just, as you know, he looked pretty good. So he's a guy. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue. Again, this is a guy I've seen one game of, but he looked pretty promising, especially as a pass catcher. And then another, Frank Gore Jr. I haven't watched any of him, but I would love to have Frank Gore Jr. on our team just to make me feel old every Sunday. But no, it'd be just fun to root for him. And then one guy who I have watched, I've watched a lot of Oregon State tape because I've been watching Talia Sifuaga, but Deshaun Fenwick runs really hard. He's the Oregon State running back. He's like their early down back. And he just runs really hard and runs like kind of like Isaiah Pacheco, you know, just runs hard. He's not on that level at all. He's not a pass catcher at all, but he just the way he runs, I enjoy to watch, because he hits the hole, he gets north south in a hurry, and he delivers a hit at the end, and he pass blocks well. And I think that it's just a guy who's going to be drafted late, and is going to have an 8-year career, because he's going to be that third running back for a team for 4 or 5 years, and he's going to bounce around. But I just liked what I saw from him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's in agreement with you. This is not the strongest running back class. I think especially coming off of what last year's running back class was, just coming out of college, it feels completely night and day difference. But that being said, I do think there's a lot of guys in here that can have the Devon Achane kind of effect, where, you know, they're probably a lot less known than your Bijans, your Jahmyr Gibbs of the world, but they do still come through and make a big impact for a team in some capacity, especially as a rookie. So plenty more film to watch on these running backs, but definitely a good early touch here and kind of a good early dive in with you here, Steve, and we certainly appreciate it. Yeah. But Steve, before we head out, want to remind everybody, ontapsportsnet.com, at ontapsportsnet on the socials. Bears on Tap will be building the board pretty much all offseason long. As any major crazy news happens, we'll certainly chat about it at that time. But this is our focus. We are getting ready for the NFL draft. And obviously the Bears are in a position where a lot of crazy shit can happen. Either they can take Caleb Williams at one, or they can trade down, or they can do a whole plethora of things atop the draft and in the later rounds of the draft. And that's where our focus will be here. You can follow me. I am at Loose on Tap. Be sure to follow Steve as well at CFC Bears on the old X. He's always posting great content. Literally like every day, every waking minute, every hour, I see your stuff coming across, Steve, and it's enjoyable because it's very in-depth and very well thought out. So be sure to follow Steve if you're not already. Be sure to follow our incredible producer as well. Big shout out, Mr. Butka Stats, back on the ones and twos here tonight for this show. But this is episode one of the positional discussions. Running backs are in the books. Linebackers are coming up this week as well. I believe that show runs tomorrow. You will get to see Quentin on that show, amongst others. I don't recall who else is with the linebackers. So, but you will at least see Mr. Butt Gestat. So if you've missed Quentin on this show, we're sorry that you missed Quentin, but we miss him too. We love him. And you guys will get to see him tomorrow night on our next episode. And again, we'll have two position groups every week until they're all covered, right here on Building the Board. And then we will start to get into the specials in March, where the great scouts here will be convincing general managers. And I use the term general managers very loosely, but convincing general managers what they should do with the Bears picks in April's draft. And then obviously that'll lead us up to the draft at the end of April. Steve, a pleasure doing the first show here with you. This was an absolutely fantastic look at the running backs so far. And again, Building the Board will be back soon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for a live episode on the linebackers, and that'll be hosted by your truly, Mr. Quentin Crisco. Until next time, I'm Ron Luce from Steve. Bear down, baby.
Bear down, everyone.